I'm really excited to be here in the studio with Aaron Russell and Bonnie Gable. Hey guys, thanks for coming up. These are members of the New Orleans Dyke Bar History Project, Last Call. And so tell me about that project. So what's going on with that?
We are a project that seeks to document and creatively interrogate the neglected history of dyke bars that used to be in New Orleans. So at a certain time, there was as many as 8 dyke bars open at the same time during the 70s and 80s.
Oh.
So we're looking at that history and creating a multi-layered digital archive and live performance events and community events that interact with the stories that we're gathering from those spaces.
So where did they all go?
We don't know. That's what we're trying to figure out.
Yeah. Any clues? Or
I think there's a lot of different things that people think. I think that online dating, some people think, is to blame.
Interesting.
But I think that there's a lot of reasons why we don't have spaces, queer spaces, and specifically intergenerational queer spaces. Mm. And so we're looking to uncover that, but also to fill some of those needs.
Mm-hmm. Are there any bars right now that you would consider a dyke bar?
There aren't. Not no. In New Orleans.
Wow.
And they're closing nationally. It's not just a local thing. So it's a national trend, and that's part of what makes it so interesting.
Yeah. So how did you get involved?
So Alda Talley told us stories about a bar called Charlene's, which is where the old John Paul's was, now Mag's 940 is. And we started asking her questions about that bar, and she started telling us stories, and we got really interested, and then she started telling us all these other people who could tell us stories.
Mm.
And then we started learning about all of these other spaces that were around. And then we started realizing how important it was to hear these, because we started getting these feelings about our own selves and our own history from listening to the stories.
Mm-hmm. So were these places like underground or clandestine, or were they?
Some of them.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. I think we have some people who are telling stories about places that were more, you know, there was like a large marquee sign and some places that weren't marked. And we have some stories about these women's first times finding these bars and how they got connected to them, because some of them got connected through other women who read them as lesbian, but maybe they didn't know, and so they were invited to join along, or that it was a place they were always curious about but scared to go into. We've been asking a lot of the people that we're interviewing, like, what their first experience was at these places.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really great you can really put yourself in their shoes about how it must have felt at that time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what is the show that you guys have been working on?
So we are launching our first podcast. And we're going to be launching a bunch of podcasts subsequently. The podcasts are produced by Rachel Lee and Peter Bowling in Free For All. And they're about 20 to 30 minutes in length. And our first one is entitled Prologue, Coming Out Stories. And it's a bunch of the stories that we heard. We didn't specifically ask for coming out stories, but they come up as part of the queer narrative. So it's a bunch of these coming out stories that we heard from the people that we've been interviewing. And we have taken the podcast and interpreted the podcast using dance and live drawing. So that's going to be at Zeitgeist on Sunday the 22nd at 5:30 as part of the Patois Film Festival.
Wow. So is there a movie related to it, or that's just...
No, we're not a film, but we, I think, fit in with the Patois overall, a paradigm. So I think we fit in pretty well, but we're a live performance event, but we do not have any video.
Mm-hmm.
It's dance and projected drawing.
Cool. And it's like the length, is it like the length of a podcast? Like,
it's 20 minutes long.
Uh-huh.
And so you're going to get to hear, if you come, you'll hear the entire podcast, plus you'll get to see the interpretation. We will have Monica McIntyre playing cello before the
friend
show.
Friend of the show.
Awesome. And after, we're going to have a facilitated feedback process where we'll get to talk to people and hear their impressions. Just listen to the audience and see how they respond in a structured way.
And hear some of their stories. I think that we want to have Monica play and then have the performance, and then we'll have a time for everybody to kind of talk about their own experiences.
Cool. So what was the most interesting thing that you've heard you know, doing all these interviews so far? Tough one.
Yeah, we have, I mean, right now I think we have 400 pages of transcript, and that's not even all of the interviews so far that we've done, and we're still collecting interviews. And so it's going to keep growing. And so I think it's hard to say. I think for me, it's just, it's really amazing to hear stories about this moment in time where queer identity started coming out of the shadows in some ways. And this is like where people forge their identities. And we're still, as queer people, doing that and redoing that and taking pages from them. And then there's diversions of how, you know, the labels have evolved. We've had a lot of conversations about the word dyke in particular and what it meant then and how it's been appropriated today. Mm. It's definitely not a term that doesn't have a charge, you know, and for different generations it represents different things. It can be a slur or it can be, you know, a term of empowerment and identity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe it'd be good to play a little bit of the podcast so people can get a feeling for what it's going to sound like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably before I went to Boston in 73, I think. And I was scared fucking to death. Because my mother was a nurse. My dad worked for the railroad. Very working class family. Because they didn't know anything about it. And I was scared to death to come out to them. This is what I told him. I said, I need to tell y'all that I will not be available all the time to come home for Christmas or Thanksgiving to spend it with you. I have my own life. I'm involved with somebody else. And she happens to be Diane Keesley. Now, I prefer women just kind of like you prefer strawberry ice cream. Mm-hmm. Just think of it in that way. And we'll get along just fine. That was it.
Welcome to Last Call, an oral history of New Orleans' disappearing dyke bar scene. I'm Rachel Lee, and you just heard from Marty Youngblood. I feel this real spark of recognition every time I listen to Marty's coming out story. There's the fear of rejection, the building up of courage, then blurting it out, all matter of fact, and finally the relief of getting it over with, knowing that you're not hiding anymore, no matter how your truth is received. When Marty came out in the early 1970s, she had somewhere to come out to. There was a thriving dyke bar scene in downtown New Orleans. It's kind of unimaginable today, where she could go out and hit four bars in one night, in walking distance of each other, and be surrounded by other lesbians. Now don't get me wrong, these weren't homogenous spaces. There were divisions and tensions based on race, class, skin color, generation, gender presentation, political beliefs, who asked whose girl to dance, you name it. But one thing that nearly everyone had in common at these bars was that in order to get there, they had to come out. Even if they were living a double life, closeted by day, once they made it inside those doors, they were out. And so for our first podcast, we're sharing some distinct takes on the most familiar of queer narratives, the coming out story. In addition to Marty, you'll hear the interwoven voices of five people who came out in the 1970s and 80s. Max Seisler, Diana Panera, Donna Bechet-Kilbourne, and Juanita Pierre. Oh, and some commentary from Juanita's partner of over 30 years, Leslie Martinez. First up is Max.
Sorry about that. cool. That's exciting.
Yeah, and we should say that the choreography is by Ellery Burton and Jeremy Guyton in collaboration with Bonnie directing. And it's been a really fun process to be in the room with these movers and be inspired by these little snippets that you hear that take you through different perspectives on coming out.
And we collaborate with a ton of people to do the interviews and to artistically interpret the stories and to be involved in organizing community events. And we're always looking for people who want to collaborate. So if you want to know more, you can go to lastcallnola.org or you can email info@lastcallnola.org.
Cool. And is there a cost for the show on Sunday?
Patois is charging $7 for, mm-hmm. I think, all their individual events, and then they do have a pass that can get you into more.
Okay, cool. So what makes you, was any part of the motivation of this project to try to get more bars to open, or has that...
I think it's not a direct motivation. We're not sure if bars are the right space for us anymore. And I think that that's the question that we're interested in figuring out, too, is, like, what do we need as a community? And how can we discover that together? And then let whoever is the right person to be doing that be inspired and impelled to create that space for other people.
Cool. So what are you most excited about with this project coming out?
I think that there's so many parts of it that we're excited about. I'm really excited to hear other people's stories, to keep hearing the stories of the elders, but also to hear the stories of other people in our generation and of youth, mm-hmm. their stories, and to let all of those stories kind of exist in space together and find connections between one another.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, I mean, for me... the project has been a really amazing way to make bonds in the community that aren't necessarily around just drinking or dating, but, like, actually about doing something together and building a thing. And it's a great way to get to know people because it does open up. I mean, what we're talking about just opens up so much about our identities and about how we relate to other people. And it's been really fun to explore that and go to those places where mm-hmm. you don't necessarily get to do on a normal conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks.